Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. It's your last chance to score Cyber Monday mega deals. Shop up to 50% off plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
The New York Yankee fan going into the offseason has one source that they trust more than anybody else. And that source is Jack Curry and Yankees Hot Stove on the YES Network. I give them a lot of credit. Jack Curry and Michael Kay are as informed about the Yankees as anybody there is. Mm-hmm. And so what is traditionally the case is when Yankees Hot Stove makes its debut, usually this time of year, Yankee fans will tune in and they will get indicators on the Yankees' plans. I think 2 years ago it was very obvious from the moment Jack Curry opened his mouth, they are going after Juan Soto. You knew it. It was not a surprise. So last night, I got my popcorn out. I was all pumped up because my Brooklyn Nets beat the Chicago Bulls. I'm all excited.
Two in a row.
I did a Rico, and I'm like, let me see what Jack Curry has to say. Mm-hmm. Let me see what Michael Kay has to say.
Let me get my chalice ready so I can collect the tears and drink them.
Really? I'm not like that.
That's exactly what you are.
I wanted to learn, because honestly, like, we've all made predictions on the Yankee offseason. We don't know. So I'd like to play you some of the clips from Yankees Hot Stove, because Yankee fans did not take this stuff well. Let's start it off. This is right out of the gate with the TV voice of the New York Yankees, Michael Kay.
That move right there has so many tentacles that will lead to what the Yankees do or don't do. We don't know what their payroll is going to be. We don't know if they want to get under $300 million, which Al Hausteinbrenner has said would be ideal. And if they do, that $22 million is going to take up a lot of the room. So they have a center fielder, but what else are they going to be able to get after pulling in that $22 million contract?
When the season ended, I said that signing Bellinger was a priority for the Yankees, number one priority. But what Michael just brought up impacts that, because now that you add Grisham, it is obviously going to have an effect. You've got Judge making $40 million in right field. You've got Grisham making $22 million in center field. What is the Yankees' appetite going to be to pursue a player like Bellinger?
I don't know how you took that. I took that as, oh my God, Trent Grisham accepting the qualifying offer. And I raised my hand because I did not think this would be the case.
You didn't think he would.
Why
wouldn't he?
No. I didn't. It's not that I didn't think he would. I thought that if he accepted it, the Yankees would still spend in a big way. The $22 million as, we can't go further. Kay and Curry just mapped out in the first 30 seconds of Yankees Hot Stove that signing greatly impacts the chances of Bellinger coming back. That I'm surprised
about. So I remember when we did this ourselves, one of the stipulations you put on us, meaning me, Tommy, Sean, and you, doing the offseason was, all right, the Yankees have about $85 million to spend.
Right.
The Mets have whatever it was, 90, I forget what the number was. It didn't matter because we're just talking about the Yankees. And when you saw that the qualifying offer was offered to Trent Grisham, in your mind, you kind of felt like that means it's really like $100 million they have to spend.
Yeah.
The qualifying offer that they offered Trent Grisham is not something that's going to prevent them from signing $80 million or $85 million, I think was the number we used, of players this offseason. But what it sounds like is that Trent Grisham is absolutely going to
be
right
there. Oh, my God.
And so now that $85 million is now $60 million
yes.
that they have to sign Cody Bellinger, whoever else they're going to target. Unless, and this is what we don't know, that the Brian Cashman, Hal Steinbrenner faction is willing to go above that $360 million number.
It just feels like Jack and Michael are very locked in usually. Yeah. And when they say stuff like the payroll, getting under $300 million, the impact, the tentacles of the Grisham signing, I don't think that's just pure speculation. I think they know. And so the early returns, and I've got more clips from last night, but that first clip was like a, whoa, I think I'm wrong about this. And I admit that because I remember arguing with you, Sean, about if they're making the QO to Grisham, it makes me think they won't let that $22 million change the rest of their offseason. And based on that response by both Curry and Kay, it sounds like it will.
Yeah, I'm going back to my initial reaction, which was they prioritized getting a draft pick, and they never thought Grisham was accepting it. And now it is absolutely going to hamper their plans, and this is brutal if true.
Here's another clip last night from Jack Curry.
He's looking for a payday, guys, and Scott Boras is his agent, and we know the approach that Scott Boras is going to take. So, Michael, you're absolutely right in the sense that you have Grisham in center field now, but as the Yankees move forward, is something like a Dominguez or a Spencer Jones more appealing to them, or do they really get heavily involved in trying to hunt down Bellinger? I think Bellinger is going to have some suitors, and I think that number is going to go up.
That to me tells me Bellinger's gone.
Yeah.
That's literally what I took out of that. They'd like to have him back, but between the combination of Grisham accepting the 22 and the fact that Boras has all these suitors, and there have been a lot of reports around the interest in Cody Bellinger, I take that, and this is what I think most Yankee fans took last night as they invested their time in Yankees Hot Stove to get an idea of what truly is going on. I think they took it as Bellinger's gone and they ain't going to do much else.
Yeah, no, look, I don't think there's going to be a all-out bidding war, but there is going to be a little bit of a bidding war with Cody Bellinger, and you got to believe that the Yankees aren't in on it. They're not going to sit back and watch this thing just skyrocket for Cody Bellinger, because that's what his agent is going to create. It's what his agent tries to create for all of his clients. And so the Yankees likely gambled here with the qualifying offer, as you were just alluding to, and it's going to bite him a little bit, because Trent Grisham probably could have been had in the open market for a lot less than $22 million, if they had desired to bring him back. And instead, you have this roadblock right now in your cap, and that's bad.
And things, to me, got worse as I continued eating my popcorn and watching the episode. Because now I know, okay, Trent Grisham is costing them Cody Bellinger. Then Jack Curry said, oh yeah, could the Yankees use a bullpen arm? Sure, they could use a bullpen arm, but anytime you hear them linked to a top-line closer, ignore it.
Bednar is their closer, so attaching the Yankees to any closers that are out there on the market, and there are some appealing ones, say whether it's a Diaz or a Suarez, I don't envision that happening.
Well, here's the problem. Last year, and we forget this, the Yankee bullpen for their standards was bad.
Yeah.
They had a bad bullpen compared to past pens
right.
that Brian Cashman has built.
Then it ended poorly.
It ended poor, and their final numbers were poor. And so, yes, I like David Bednar. I think we all do. Let's not forget, David Bednar was in the minor leagues a year and a half ago because of his struggles. Why wouldn't you be linked to Edwin Diaz or Robert Suarez or a top-line closer?
Because of the money.
That's not good.
Of course it's not good, but it's the reality. You know, we know what Edwin Diaz is looking for. We know what some of these top closers are trying to get right now, and the Yankees just aren't in that. And I don't think they're in that mode to spend. Not like that.
But here's the problem with that, Teague. They just finished a season in which they were tied for first place with the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays, forget about what they did in the postseason. I'm just talking about over 162, they had the same record, and the Blue Jays are out going after Kyle Tucker, going after Edwin Diaz. Mm-hmm. They signed Dylan Cease. You're watching a team in your division get incredibly good, and all I've heard so far from Jack Curry is, don't expect this. Don't expect, well, what the hell should I expect? Well, maybe, let me think, maybe they'll try to improve shortstop. You know, Anthony Volpe had a bad year last year. Anthony Volpe is hurt. He's not going to be ready for the start of the season. So, Jack, tell me, maybe they'll go get a shortstop, right?
The Yankees believe that Caballero and Cabrera can hold down the fort until Volpe comes back. And Volpe is a very hot topic for Yankee fans, for people who follow this team. And whenever I get asked about Volpe, I go back to something that Brian Cashman, the general manager, said at the end of the season. He said, I believe in this player. We believe in this player. So the Yankees believe that there is more from Volpe.
This was an all-time disastrous Yankee hot stove. And that is with all due respect to Jack and Michael. They're doing their job.
Only if it's a reality.
They know what they're talking
only
about.
Only if it's a reality.
Well, you don't think they know?
Of course I
think. Jack knows.
I think they know, but we don't know if Hal Steinbrenner is going to go or fly above whatever artificial cap number he put on this roster right now. So if he does that, then this is all moot. We're not even worried about this. But I can understand why there's alarmism.
Sean,
because we know what the Yankees have continuously done.
Tiki doesn't understand that Jack Curry is God. He doesn't know that yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jack Curry is very much like Jay Glazer when it comes to the Giants, as I bring everything back to the Giants. When he suddenly speaks, you listen. Here's the thing, Evan. Did we go into the offseason thinking the Yankees were going to have some kind of big offseason? We didn't. Right? Even when it comes to the bullpen market, you want to bring up Bednar? I think they also think Doval is going to have a bounce back year, and that's going to be a dominating 8-9. I'm less worried about that. The Bellinger stuff, I got news for you. He might be right, Jack Curry, but you know what this sounds like to me? This sounds like the Yankees floating smoke because they're still pissed at the way Scott Boras used them to ring up the Met tab on Juan Soto last year. And I think that the Yankees right now are consciously not going to allow Scott Boras to play them again with the other big free agent on the market. And I think if they come in low now, they will go back at the end when it comes to Bellinger's high offer. And if they deem that worthy, they will still bring back Bellinger. But they're not going to start amping up their need for him now. I think they're downplaying this because of the misplay of Juan Soto last year.
Yeah, it's also free agency, and you know how free agency is. It doesn't matter the sport, you're going to overpay for your free agent. And so in this case, the Yankees are trying not to be used and then ultimately overpay for a free agent.
That is entirely possible because when Brian Cashman met the media a few weeks ago, he made it clear that Trent Grisham accepting the qualifying offer was not going to affect their chase of Cody Bellinger.
Which is why we didn't make the assumption that it was going to knock into whatever they were going to spend this offseason.
No, I made the opposite assumption.
Right.
Which is, I believe Brian Cashman, and I believed it to begin with. Jack Curry concerns me. Because Jack knows.
Well, maybe Jack doesn't know
speculate.
What he's talking about.
Excuse me? You just say Jack doesn't know what he's talking about?
Maybe Jack don't know Jack.
Sean, you're the Yankee fan. How much does Jack usually know?
He knows a lot.
Jack's the only reason that I cared about watching Hot Stove last night, because this is like you wait for this every year as a Yankee fan.
I know.
What happens
when he tells you what you don't want to hear?
Well, the problem is you have to accept it, and I'm tired of being blinded in reality. The problem with what Jack Curry said last night is there is no problem. It is what we expected as Yankee fans. What we didn't expect was not to get Cody Bellinger ultimately, even if he got priced out of Kyle Tucker. I will still believe that when I see it, and that is full-blown dumpster fire territory if that comes to fruition. If Trent Grisham starting in center field, and there's no Kyle Tucker, and there's no Bellinger, and maybe the backup plan is they pivot to a trade nobody's talking about, and that's their way of being creative with payroll, which, okay, then we could fully judge that if and when it happens, but at the very least, we expected this offseason to be Bellinger and a whole bunch of nothing else. If what Curry's saying is true, it's panic mode.
So you hit on something that Brian Cashman has done before. There has been a time, it was actually a couple years ago when they traded for Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo, whereas part of the brilliance of what Cashman did is he remained under a certain tax threshold.
Right.
And they got creative in the way they did that. So you do throw out an idea of will the Yankees try to shed payroll in one area and then add in another and kind of get creative. And I wonder...
A la Stephen Kwan in the outfield, like something like that.
Sure. No. And that makes sense. And then it comes down to, okay, how do you do it? And then it comes down to this. I remember last year when they traded for Ryan McMahon. Our reaction to it was, he's a lot better than what they were playing at third base, Oswald Peraza. He's really good defensively. Even though not a great hitter, a better hitter, the Yankees are a better team. The one negative I had about McMahon, I don't even know if you guys remember it. Do you remember, Sean, specifically, my negative about Ryan McMahon?
Did we share the negative in that he was guaranteed $16 million this
year?
Yes.
That was the problem.
Right.
Now all of a sudden you're tying up $16 million to a third baseman who, while he's an upgrade over Peraza, is probably not worth $16 million. That's money best spent
especially
elsewhere.
Especially if he ends up not being the everyday guy. Which, you know, you hope he kind of has to be.
Well,
he kind of, right?
It does, because look at the Yankee roster. And look what Jack Curry told you. Jose Caballero's the shortstop. Oswaldo Cabrera's back, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy, he'll be in the picture. And then Anthony Volpe comes back on his white horse to save the day at shortstop.
Maybe.
That's what they're figuring.
Yeah.
So I think what the Yankees, or at least what Jack Curry has told you on Yankee Hot Stove, as Sean points out, every Yankee fan waits for as like, the Pope signal, the bat signal on what the offseason's going to be, is they just told you the offseason ain't going to be much. It's going to be not even running it back because they've already lost pieces.
Yeah, that's depressing.
That's what I think we're looking at.
That's rough.
And it's rough, and it's not exciting for Yankee fans, and Yankee fans have every right to call up and scream and yell. What I would tell you is, talent-wise, you're still a playoff team. You're still good. I love your pitching. I mean, your pitching, once they get healthy, has a chance to be the best in baseball. So I'm not going to tell you you got no shot or these are the dark days of the New York Yankees. That's hyperbole. That's not true. But I understand that when you're sitting here on December 4th and we're less than a week away from the winter meetings and you hear this stuff, it is a little down.
Yeah, I think there's a way to internally spin this. So not talking about for us as fans or analysts or any of that nature. I'm talking about from an ownership or organizational standpoint. You spin it by saying, we are in position to have one of the best starting rotations in baseball. And yes, Cody Bellinger, because of his agent, might get priced out, and we're now forced to go with one of the young guys and in one of the outfield positions. Trent Grisham's a good player. Let's hope that he continues to excel like he did last year in his contract year. Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge. If you need to, Stanton can throw out there every now and then, but he's your DH. You have some young players that have contributed. Ben Rice is one of them. Austin Wells is another. Let's just lean in to being great in our staff, in our pitching staff. That could be the pivot that the Yankees are looking at right now, and not worried about, oh, we got to have this bat, we got to have this position player, we got to have the XYZ. Let's trust that those bats, the run production is good enough. And let's just be unbelievable with our starting rotation.
And the truth is, one's healthy, and it's not going to start that way because Gerrit Cole may miss early time. Carlos Rodon may miss early time. We may not see Clark Schmidt till July or August. But on paper, when healthy, this is a tremendous rotation.
No doubt. Especially if the Alcantara stuff is true or happens.
Well, I don't know if I buy that either, though, at this point. But
that's a trade, though.
Yeah.
So that's different. And it feels like that's the next maybe move that they make for this rotation. And if they do and get rid of one of the Spencer Jones, whoever it may be, then all of a sudden the Yankees have the best rotation in baseball.
Well, I think they may have the best rotation in baseball anyway, if healthy, right there with the Los Angeles Dodgers. But I think the only way you're trading Spencer Jones or Jason Dominguez is if you keep Cody Bellinger. And what Jack Curry told you is it's up in the air. Now, I found this very interesting because I do think sometimes we're in the middle of a game. So Jack tells you, well, they like Cody. Ah, there's a market. It's expensive. Trent Grisham. And then it took John Heyman like an hour to put out the Yankees are still hot for Cody Bellinger.
Of course.
It's almost like there's a game going on.
Yeah, there is a game. This is from the owner side. This is from the agent side.
How will it play out? We'll talk to Yankee fans coming up, 888.
The Yankees are a joke.
I didn't say that.
Welcome to hell.
Okay.
Off of a year in which you won 94 games, which is a good number. Not a great number, but a good number. But one off being good enough.
Yeah.
Because really all that matters is, to me, finishing with the best record in the league, having home field advantage throughout. I've made this point to you guys a lot. The Yankees have not lost a postseason series in which they've had home field advantage in the Aaron Boone era.
Yeah, they have trouble winning the ones that they don't.
That's where the issue lies. So really, the Yankees have to win one more game. That's really what it comes down to. Would you be comfortable with the same team as last year, knowing Gerrit Cole is back, feeling better about Cam Schlittler, knowing Luis Gil is healthy, or at least at the start of the year is healthy, David Bednar's your closer? Like, would that be enough, a run-it-back scenario to say, you know what, we can compete for a
championship?
Running
it back is not exciting, but running it back is also not a horrible option for the Yankees, especially if they're healthy within their pitching rotation, and then more importantly, if and when Volpe comes back and is hopefully he's healthy, Because when he's healthy, he's better. When he got the cortisone shot or whatever shot he got in his shoulder after the labrum tear that we finally found out about, he actually played a little bit better.
Right.
So if he's healthy, maybe Anthony Volpe can continue on his development. I felt like this last season was a chunk season. Like, forget it. Like, throw it away, because so much felt like it was wrong. But if he gets right, then you're probably okay.
Mm.
Jazz continues to develop, you know, whatever you do at third base. But the roster isn't horrible. It's not gaping with holes. But when you don't do anything in the offseason, it feels like, oh, we didn't really do anything. And so, yeah, I think the wait and see would be maddening, even though it's probably not a bad plan B. You know what I mean? Of not doing anything. It's not a bad plan B.
Yeah, I mean, for me, as long as you sign Bellinger, that's considered running it back. Even running it back isn't truly running it back. Evan, you alluded to Gerrit Cole coming back, obviously. You're starting the year, and you hope Bednar and Doval are good, that your bullpen should still be in better shape when you consider how Devin Williams started the year. And Giancarlo started the year on the IL last year. So if you get him at DH, Ben Rice played first base. And I also just think Ben Rice another year, Austin Wells another year, Caballero on the base pass starting the year at shortstop probably creates some runs. I'm probably grasping at straws. I admit that, but I also think Dominguez, maybe, hopefully, if he's playing, he learns from last year. I think your internal growth makes it not the same team, even if it is on paper.
Yeah, but it just feels like it's a hope.
It's a lot of ifs, and usually when you rely on it, it's a big issue.
Right.
It's a big, big issue.
Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019, the number. George on Long Island. Good afternoon, George.
Hey, George.
How you doing, fellas? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Appreciate you guys taking the call.
Thank you, man.
Look, we got to remember at the end of the day, this is a business, and this is the Yankees organization we're talking about. You know, they don't own exactly a 0% stake in Yes. And so Jack Curry and Michael Kay, all the respect to them, they're smart guys. And so would it be the worst thing for them to give the message out that, hey, maybe, you know, whatever free agent, whether it's Bellinger or whoever else, whatever you're expecting the Yankees to pay, maybe they're not going to pay it this year? I think this is chestnut checkers. I think that, you know, the Yankees know what they need this year to have that margin of error, not be one win, but more than one win. And it's bringing some new blood into the team.
So you think what occurred last night on Yankee Hot Stove, usually the bellwether of what the offseason is going to look like, was a game of chess. Was a game of low expectations.
Yep.
And then we are going to shock you.
I mean, when we see that happen once, then we'll believe that it's possible. Because when was the last time you saw that happen?
No, it really, look, the Yankees have had some very big off-seasons, so that part doesn't stun me. I mean, there are off-seasons in which the Yankees decide, like when they signed Gerrit Cole going into the 20 season, or when they signed CeCe Sabathia into the 09 season, they put their you-know-what on the table and said, we'll get in the player. I dare you to get in the way. We're getting the player. And they did. So there have been times in which the Yankees are the aggressor, where they are what the Dodgers are now. But usually, you have indications of what kind of offseason it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the indications are it's going to be quiet.
Right.
And it doesn't mean, as you laid out.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. It's your last chance to score Cyber Monday mega deals. Shop up to 50% off plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sean, and you too, Teak, that the Yankees won't be good next year, or they won't even be favorites to make the postseason or even get out of the American League. But I think right now in December, the hope is big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The hope is big improvements, and it doesn't feel like that's the kind of off season we're headed towards. Let's go to Carlos in New Jersey. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up,
man? Happy holidays, all of you.
Thanks.
Likewise.
You too.
Thank you. Listen, who would have thought that we were going to be talking about the Yankees, you know, about saving money in 2025? Back then, you know, they used to get any player they wanted to get. And this is like watching a movie, and I'm enjoying it. It's so good. Evan, I'm watching the same movie you're watching. And let me tell you something. Maybe it's a sign that, you know, they cannot compete with the Mets. You know, any players that, like Bellinger, that they won. They're probably saying, you know what, we're not going to give them, you know, the money. We're not going to be able to compete. Might as well, you know what, let's just make money and not spend.
Carlos, I understand and I respect. I do. I respect the Met fan who wants to have fun. Mm. I do. I'm a Met fan. But here's why I can't join in with Carlos in the movie he's watching. And I'm sorry to be the bad guy, but I like to say I'm the truth teller. That's what I like to say. The New York Yankees finished tied for the best record in the American League last year. They lost to the eventual American League champion Toronto Blue Jays in a hard-fought best-of-four series in the divisional round. The Mets, the team I love, the team Carlos is putting his feet up with, choked away for 3.5 months, died in front of us, won 83 games, and it was one of the biggest disasters in the history of baseball. So I'm glad, I'm happy for you that you can sit back and enjoy this movie that you're watching. But the movie I'm watching still has the Yankees here, my hands are up,
right,
and the Mets here, my hand is slightly down. Does that not make sense?
No, of course it makes sense. Okay. It's not like you could brag about how great the Mets are. Yeah, they're in a better position at this stage because you're not worried about the money that they are going to likely spend, because if they have to spend it, it seems maybe they just spend it. Whereas the Yankees feel like they have this artificial cap on top of on what they want to spend. But at the same time, the Mets just kind of, they're riding a roller coaster.
I understand.
It's like, oh, great. Yeah, you know, okay. That sucked. Oh, great. Oh, well, that sucked. Like, it's just, who the hell wants to do that?
I just want to give some advice to my fellow friends who are Mets fans. In fact, the best person to give advice to is you, Tommy, because you are the definition of this.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, when the Mets got Juan Soto, and it was amazing, I celebrated too. We did it together on the Rico. Your celebration continued for months. And then we embarrassed ourselves.
No biggie.
This offseason, even if things look great on paper, can we, you know, just put the football back down on the ground, hand it to the referee, wait for April, and not celebrate until there's actually something worth celebrating about?
No. I'm going to celebrate what I think is going to be a massive offseason for the Mets. And I'm not going to worry about what happened last year, because last year has nothing to do with this year. And I think you should always celebrate when your team is aggressive and makes a lot of off-season moves.
How about this? I'll make you a deal. We can celebrate when you like moves, 100%. Can you just take two words? They're so tiny. They're the tiniest words ever. Can you just take two words, not connect them, and not use them until October of next year?
Do they both start with a B?
They do. Mm. They do. They do. They start with a B.
Is one of them big?
Yes.
Is the other word brother?
Yes.
I will not take that out of my lexicon.
No biggie.
What justification do you have?
Well, here's what I would say, Teak. The Yankees played 7 more games than the Mets last year. That's it. Yeah. So to put one, well, don't old god me back there at the peanut gallery. They played 7 more games than the Mets last year.
You also won 11 less games than the Yankees.
Right. But if the Mets have a huge offseason and the Yankees don't, then the Mets to me are big brothers still.
You know, the Knicks only played 17 more games than the Nets last year.
If you want to use that, you can.
But... I'm not going to use it. I'm just kidding. Let's go to Anthony down in Tampa. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Ant.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. So the last caller stole my thunder a little bit, but you guys are still talking about it. I'm a Mets fan. I'm a Jets fan. I don't think the Yankees are in trouble at all, but I am enjoying every second of watching the Giants and Yankees fans be in total disarray and calling the team dumpster fire. I love it. I love every second of it. And that even brings me to what Devin Williams said yesterday, is how nobody wanted him on the Yankees, and now they have a lot to say about him being on the Mets.
Let's address that. Devin Williams, of course, signed with the New York Mets, a 3-year, $51 million deal. My understanding is the Yankees were not very interested in even bringing him back.
Yeah.
That maybe they would have brought him back on a shorter-term deal for not quite as much money, but I think the Yankees were willing, not even because they don't like the player, but probably because they didn't want to drop 3 years, $51 million on a reliever, they were willing to let him go. Obviously, the Mets signed him. We've talked about it over the last couple of days. I think a lot of Mets fans feel it's a good signing, especially if Diaz is here. If Diaz is not here, it's a little bit more worrisome. So a lot of opinions, a lot of Yankee opinions. Mets keep signing the scraps of the Yankees. Met fans, this is great. Super bullpen. We had fun with Tommy with some of the things he said about Devin last year compared to this year. Devin Williams decided to chime in.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me your thoughts on this. He simply puts out on the gram, on the IG, for a bunch of people that didn't want me back on your team, y'all sure are mad in the DMs, crying face emoji.
Yeah, the problem is we know what social media is. It's the 10%. It's not the 90%.
Right.
It's just let's be entertained. Maybe he'll respond. He'll say something. You can't get caught up in DMs. You can't get caught up in social media. It's not always reality.
So Devin should not have even said anything.
Yeah, who cares, dude? Like, seriously, what are you talking about?
You're responding to the 10% of Yankee fans.
Yes.
Sean, were you in Devin Williams' DMs last night?
And some of them are Yankee fans.
Right.
100% of them are trolls.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I was not in Devin Williams' DMs, but I would say this. Devin Williams should ignore it, but as somebody who at times personally doesn't always ignore their DMs, I must say this. Those 10% of Yankee fans, you deserve Devin Williams clapping back at you, making you look like an idiot, because you did want him back, and now you're attacking him for going to the Mets, and I think you guys have acted like clowns, too. So I think in both parties, you shouldn't be DMing Devin Williams. Devin Williams shouldn't be answering, but Devin Williams is not wrong in what he says to those 10% of Yankee fans, because you are walking hypocrites.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those weird things where Met fans, not all, but I think our last caller, Carlos, I think Tommy certainly will feel this way. They look at any new Met and former Yankee attacking Yankee fans in any way as the ultimate, oh, I love this guy. Right. And I get where that comes from, because I remember when Durant used to do stuff to you guys, I would come on the radio and say, oh my God, I love him. I love how he's taking shots at you. So I think that some Met fans are going to see this. And before Devin has ever thrown a pitch as a member of the Mets, you now have good feelings towards him.
Absolutely. And there will be, A.J. Minter did it last year where he took shots at the Yankees. There will be no discourse on whose side Devin Williams will be on this year. It won't be, well, Devin Williams misses the Yankees. He looks unhappy. Devin Williams drew the line in the sand and he said, I am now a Met in this war against the Yankees. And I love that.
Oh, good. I hope Devin Williams doesn't go down his pants on the weekend of September 11th, 12th, and 13th, though, if the Mets are not afraid to pitch him.
Well, so it's already in your head, so you already had that circled on your calendar.
We all know how the Mets were afraid to pitch Luis Severino in Yankee Stadium, so we'll see what happens.
Well, that's different. That's a starter, not a reliever. Too, if they need their eighth inning guy in a big spot, they're going to pitch him. They're not going to hide him. That's different than a starting pitcher where you could change your rotation.
If he is a big reliever.
Devin Williams gets back to his form in Milwaukee, I don't want to hear you crying and all your brethren, the law firm of McPherson, McMonagle, and Marash, crying about Devin Williams, that he's great now and he found his form again with the Mets. So it goes both ways.
His form in Milwaukee was blowing games to Pete Alonso.
So no, that's one game where he tipped his pitch. So now I'm defending Devin Williams on the Brewers here against the Mets.
What I love about this argument, and we're not calling it a Lou Gehrig debate series, I don't think it's gotten to that point yet, But what I love about it is it wasn't that long ago that they did have a Lugash debate series about Devin Williams.
Yes.
And they were on complete opposite sides.
Than they are right now. this is all about team loyalty.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That you guys are so transparent.
It's amazing.
What pathetic.
This is like Roman versus Cody. One guy's a heel, one guy's a face. Oh, wait, now I'm a face and you're a heel. It's the same damn thing. But the one thing that Sean, I don't know if you actually said it this way, but I will understand this. Devin Williams was traded to the Yankees last year with high expectations. Yep. He was one of the best closers in baseball. That's the reality. And he did not have a good year. Now, did he finish strong? Sure. But you can absolutely state the case that Devin Williams is the reason the New York Yankees didn't win the American League East. I think that is an absolute fair statement to
make. Yeah, no, there was enough blown saves where...
All you need is one
exactly,
to be blown.
And it also forced Brian Cashman and the Yankees to go get another closer.
Right.
They had to go get someone else to be in that role. And who knows what that resource could have been used for.
So right? I think that I understand why a Yankee fan, just looking at last year, would say, dude, you let us down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, was it better in September? Sure, but ultimately, we didn't win the AL East. We had to play on the road, which, right. as we've talked about, is always the death sentence of the Yankees come postseason time. And if you wanted to pick one player to put it on, I mean, you could put it on a bunch of guys. Like, yeah, you could put it on Volpe if you want. Mm-hmm. But Devin Williams blew a handful of games.
No, you're right. And you can't ignore it because you had to go get another closer. Exactly. You could have used that resource somewhere else.
Bingo.
That's the biggest deal.
The whole trade deadline had to be focused on that because of him.
Yes.
Period.
Let's go to Stephen Bayside. What's shaking today, Steve?
What's going on? I love how some of the people that weren't that excited about getting Cody Bellinger last year are now thinking that the Yankees absolutely can't live without him. I find that.
Well, you know what? He just felt like a Yankee, Steve. That's why. He just looked the part and he performed the part. So that's why. Yeah, that's why you want him back.
He had a nice year, but if his market, and it appears this is what's going on now, is if his market is going to go to 6 or 7 years. Thank you, Cody. I'm moving on to my plan B.
Agreed.
And what if I could give you guys one player who could make Yankee fans feel better about pretty much all of their positional questions? One player. How about this?
Go.
Brendan Donovan. Now, the Cardinals are clearly selling.
Plays everywhere, Steve's point. Everywhere. Yeah. Center field, shortstop, second base. You can put him anywhere.
You could put him anywhere. He can be your leadoff hitter. He can make you feel better about Volpe. He can make you feel better about left field. He can make you feel better about third base. I think the Yankees really need to address third base because Brian McMahon has just way too much swing and miss for me to feel comfortable playing him in a playoff game.
I think he is a perfect fit. He's a perfect fit for a lot of teams because of the versatility you talk about. He's 28 years old. He's 2 more years of team control. He hits for a decent average, and he's got position versatility. There's only one negative, and it's so freaking small. I even feel bad saying it's a negative, and it's another left-handed bat when you have so many left-handed bats. Like, you talk about Ryan McMahon, and I remember mentioning this at the beginning of the offseason when thinking about my plan. Not what I think the Yankees are going to do, but my plan. And that was to go get a third baseman / shortstop. Even if it's Alex Bregman playing shortstop for a year, or it's Bo Bichette, who can still play shortstop even if it's not at a high level, fill the position at short for a year or two, sometimes move to third base, especially if Anthony Volpe reproves himself with McMahon on the bench, and that gives you versatility with a better player, with a top player. Donovan gives you great versatility. It's just it's another left-hand hitter when you have so many, including Ryan McMahon.
Right. So, and the Ryan McMahon thing, it's not an issue, but it could become one because it'll feel like he's not productive enough offensively. Good defender, it is what it is. But he's not productive, and he's blocking somebody else.
Right.
He's blocking another potential move. And it's like, is he movable? Maybe.
Yeah.
But unlikely. So you're kind of stuck.
It's a move that you look back on and say, I don't love it. I think that if they are willing to spend, and this is the point I made a month ago, and because it wasn't about you have to re-sign Cody Bellinger. It was, if I'm going to hand out one big contract, I'd almost rather give it to an infielder like Bo Bichette, with the thought being, I'll make do in the outfield with Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones and Trent Grisham. But now I can play Bichette at shortstop. If Volpe comes back and is great, oh, great, no biggie. I move Bichette to third, where all of a sudden Ryan McMahon sits a bunch, or, dare I say, second base, if something happens to Jazz Chisholm. Like, you give yourself a lot of ways in the infield to get better, because right now the Yankee infield is also very underwhelming. Mm. It's Ryan McMahon at
third. It feels uncertain.
Well,
because it could be good. Like, if Ben Rice develops as a first baseman and he is what he is, you feel good about first base. Jazz, you feel good about second. If Volpe gets... Like, it's just uncertainty, though, everywhere. Especially with Ryan McMahon at third.
Well, it's not even, to me, uncertainty. It's just it's not that good. I mean, Ryan McMahon, Jose Caballero, Jazz,
but Chisholm, and Ben Rice. Ben Rice could be good.
He could be. And I love Jazz.
And Anthony Volpe could eventually be good. He's still only 24 years old, right? Jazz Chisholm is young. And, look, he's got star potential. I don't know if he's not fully realized it yet. You're worried about third, but it's still... I think the upside is there for a lot of the positions in the infield.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that you're looking at and saying, yep, I don't got to worry about that at all.
The other guy that's really a good fit for the Yankees, and I don't know how much this is going to cost, and I don't think it's going to be that sexy because most people are going to be like, I don't know if he's any good. And meanwhile, I don't know if he's any good. It's Kazuma Okamoto from Japan because he's a good defensive third baseman and first baseman, and he's a right-handed bat. Now, how perfect is that? Mm-hmm. He could sit McMahon. He could sit Ben Rice. The problem is, and this is always the issue when you bring someone over from Japan, I could sit here all day and read his numbers from Japan. I don't know what the hell that means.
Right.
So, but he, at least on paper, seems like another guy who would be a good fit if they're willing to spend. If they're willing to spend a couple of shekels.
But if they're this reluctant already off of Jack Curry's report to spend, are they really going to just take swings on a player from the Japanese market that they have no idea if he's any good? I mean, why would that be a smart resource?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't feel like it makes sense.
No, I disagree with you, Tiki, because you lectured us for years. For years, you would say the Dodgers own the Japanese market.
Oh, yeah. So,
well, how do you get back?
So he's going to the Dodgers.
No, but not everyone's going to the Dodgers.
I know, just kidding.
But how do you get back into the market? You can't just say, well, it's a swing. I don't know. I haven't seen the guy
play.
I think
you should only get back in the market if it's a no-brainer.
Is anything in life a no-brainer?
Otani
was pretty much a no-brainer.
Oh, my God. I mean, but most things are not no-brainers. If the guy is highly regarded in Japan, and he hits for a high average and has a little bit of pop, and he's a very good defender, which is not something that won't translate, what's the problem? Why do you hate Okamoto? You don't even know who he is.
It's not that I hate him, Evan, but basically before you're bringing him up.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you.
It's your last chance to score Cyber Monday mega deals. Shop up to 50% off plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one.
You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Or a couple people on Twitter, this is not the hype like Yamamoto was or Otani was. So I have no problem with the idea of taking a lottery ticket, but don't act like, oh, if you do that, maybe you start to bleed into the Japanese market. That is not a sure thing. Those other two were way more hyped sure things.
Guys hit 30 home runs 5 years in a row in Japan.
Okay. And maybe he's great.
Okay, so why are you crapping on him?
Because it's too big a risk on a team that's already telling you how little they want to spend above $300 million. You can't afford that when spending Ryan McMahon for $16 million. You can't afford it.
Let's go to Renee in Yonkers. Hey, Renee.
What's going on, guys? Love the show.
What's up,
thank you,
man?
Renee.
Hey, I'm over here just taking a look at the landscape of baseball. And from what I understand, the Yankees are the premier franchise in all of baseball. They should be the marquee franchise. And I'm seeing the Guggenheims got all this money in L.A. I'm seeing in Toronto we got Rodgers with all this money. In our own backyard, we got Steve Cohen with all this money. And I'm asking myself, is Hal Steinbrenner too broke to own the Yankees? Respect.
Oh, man, that's an interesting question.
That's phrased incredibly well.
It is.
Unfairly, but sure.
Yes, no, broke. He's not too broke. But he does feel financially obligated to a lot of different entities, including the city of New York, for whatever that number is, 100 million.
Oh, God. Is that really a problem?
It shouldn't be. No, no. So the answer to his question directly is no. It's just.
It's a willingness.
It's a willingness.
That's the word. Right. I'm so saying, and usually it is,
am I willing to put my money at risk? That's what it is. Because that's what Guggenheim does.
Right. Well, I think that's what Steve Cohen does.
Of course.
He lost a ton of money last year.
100%. But if you win a world championship like the LA Dodgers have done back in back-to-back years, you are raking hand over fist money.
Right.
And especially when you've tapped into an entirely different country's baseball-loving market, like the Japanese market with Otani and others.
It feels like the Yankees haven't changed as much as other teams have changed, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't believe the Yankees are cheap. I believe there are more teams, specifically the Dodgers, the Mets, the Blue Jays, and the Phillies, who just spend more. Like, look at the Mets. I mean, the Mets were owned by the Wilpons 5 years ago. Need I say more? I mean, things are clearly different. Look at how aggressive Philadelphia has been over the last 4 or 5 years. So I don't even think it's the Yankees are not spending, because they clearly are. I think it's that when you look around, you see so many other teams spending. The thing that's difficult, and I made this point to you guys last year when Sean would freak out about the Dodgers, and I'd say, dude, don't worry about the Dodgers. They're in another league. If you get to the World Series, and by the way, you didn't get to the World Series, so who cares? Don't worry about them. It's the teams in your league you have to worry about. And right now, the big worry is clearly Toronto.
Yeah.
Because they've always tried to spend, Teak, and no one would take their money.
And now people are going to start taking their money.
Well, now they're coming off a year in which they were this close to a championship. They got to the 7th game of the World Series, and look what they've already done. It's Dylan Cease, but it's also connection to Edwin Diaz, connection to Kyle Tucker. Like, they're going so big, and clearly the Yankees are not going to match that. And that would be my bigger worry than anything the Dodgers have done the last couple of years.
I don't know. I think using the word worry with the Blue Jays is a little silly. They're a threat, but, I mean, is George Springer going to have a monster year again? I just, even if they add Tucker and Diaz, I think
well, they're not. I think they're just not ignorable.
Yeah, that's
right?
Fine.
It used to
okay,
be like,
that's fine.
Oh, yeah, they're trying, but you know, I mean, Vlad's dangerous, but you don't really got to worry about the Blue Jays. Now you have to worry about them.
Yeah, I guess I'm just being semantic. Like, I'm not worried about them, but I acknowledge their existence. How about that?
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Wow.
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. It's your last chance to score Cyber Monday mega deals. Shop up to 50% off plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.